Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our special guest. Welcome back, Mr. Austin Snell.
What's up, man?
How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Can't complain. We're just talking about the weather. Weather's great.
Yes.
So great. This is the time
of
year.
Finally not miserable to play outside.
Yeah.
The first time of the year.
Yeah.
Football weather.
Yep. Football weather. It's like... This cheers. Feels like summer in Pittsburgh. Yeah, cheers, boys. Yeah, it's like officially, it's almost noon, so that's fine. This is a good time to start drinking. We got a fun day today, a podcast, and then we're probably going to try to sneak in a cigar.
We're doing all kinds of shit today.
And then, like, it's Americana Fest week, so shit's just going crazy out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Always a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
bro,
yeah.
I picked up Nick today at what, like 8:15 in your house, 8:30 or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna drop you off or at like 10 or midnight or something. Yeah, it's a fucking boys' day today.
Yeah,
yeah.
You gotta get the boys out every once in a while and get it rolling.
Yeah, we went out this past weekend for the first time and watched some college balls.
Hell yeah,
it's magic, dude.
It feels great.
It's a magical time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time. Yeah, you got NFL, college football. The weather's beautiful.
Yep.
And
we did our fantasy draft last week.
Oh yeah,
it's not gonna go well for me.
Yeah, no.
No, I have Matt
Stafford.
Didn't
do enough research.
I should have drafted quarterback first. That was my issue.
First overall, like first round.
Yeah, I drafted Barkley.
Yeah, I mean that's smart.
Yeah,
honestly, he's.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, the Eagles just are trading for another running back, but he's gonna do like kick returns and stuff. But I think just to give them more depth, you know, they're so deep all the time.
I don't know anything about
it. I know the Colts quarterback had his most points ever, like, against the Dolphins, and we just got smoked. And I'm just like, that little glimmer of hope, and it's like within the first 5 seconds of the first game of the year, it's like, nope.
No, thank you. Well, that happens from time to time. But
we have music, though.
Yeah, there's always music. And, man, you've been, God, the last time you were on the pod... Was it at the old house?
Yep.
With Kenny playing.
That was a long time
you?
Ago, dude.
Yeah, it was like right
ago.
When it was starting.
I was in this room last year. I did an interview
Matt.
With Matt.
Yeah.
But yeah,
sleeping
not
over
with you
here.
Guys, man. It's been a while, bro.
Crazy. That was the green screen days back in the old room. Excuse the mess with you and Kenny. And now Kenny's having some
Kenny's
great shit
doing
going
his own
on
thing
too.
Now, dude. He, I mean, for the people that don't know, he's been with me for, I mean, since I played my first show ever. My first tour was with Warren Ziders, and we did the acoustic thing. So me and him and my brother in a minivan, we were just rocking along.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been with me for about 3 years, and I was kind of waiting on it. You know, I knew it was going to happen because I knew he was just so talented, and he needed to do it, and I always pushed him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me a few months back, and he's like, hey, man, I want to get you dinner. And I was like, I know exactly what this is about.
Yeah. Been and, there.
He's doing his own artist thing now. I'm proud of him. We're all proud of him. So he's doing big things. He's going out with Cole Goodwin.
That's so sick.
He's on his tour right now.
Pairing too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We love Cole too. And I mean, that vibe, you know, fits exactly what Kenny's doing.
Yeah, and I told him it's like, this is like the best time to go and, you know, branch out. Because he does that, you know, traditional country thing. And right now that's like, you know, a really big wave that's happening. So I was like, dude, if you don't do it now, like you're going to miss an opportunity to do it. So,
100%. I love that.
Love a good supportive friend, you know?
Yeah, bro, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you got to town, it was just finding your clique, finding your friends, finding your co-writers, and then going from there.
Oh, yeah, come on. Garth Brooks just entered the room, everybody, off camera.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're good.
Come on
in. But it was cool, like, seeing how fast that kind of, like, started with you, and you got a really good crew of buddies and co-writers and friends, and then just watching it develop from there and... you know, starting to see you working with like Bayless and kind of all of that come to be.
Yeah.
I remember watching Bayless come from like a guy that they were like, yeah, this guy's like, he's great. And now it's like, he's doing it.
You know? He's doing huge things, dude. It baffles me every day that, you know, he even still has time to do my stuff
because
he's busy doing, you know, all
everything.
Kinds of other stuff. So,
yeah.
There's so much talent here.
Man, it's wild. And it's just like, good people helping good people find your folks and push forward with them.
Yeah.
You know?
And dude, and like with how busy I've been, you know, the last couple, 2-3 years, like I don't get to go out very much and like go to rounds like we were doing, you know, when I first moved here. And the last, you know, I've had a couple weeks off, and so we've kind of got to go out and hang out and kind of like old times. But dude, it's still so crazy to me how much talent is in this town.
It's
like
wild.
Like the people that you just see playing at Hole in the Wall, like we were in Taco Bell on second, and this dude was just ripping songs, bro. Like,
that's how it goes.
Dude, it's crazy. Nashville, bro. Dude.
Gotta
crazy.
Pay the bills. That's what we were talking to people, and even on the musician side, and they're like talking about like picking up a gig here and picking up a gig there, and just who they're working with and how crazy all of that is, and then it's like hitting the road.
Yep.
But man, it's so motivating. Is, you know, like everyone's working so hard here in everything they do.
Yeah.
So it just makes you want to work even harder. You know.
That's kind of my whole, you know, spiel on somebody that asked me if they should be in town is like, dude, that's like what keeps me motivated. Like to be around so many people that are like doing this thing. Like, you can't sit on your ass and not do nothing, because if you do, then like, you know, there's a million other people here that are going to outwork you. So, and it was a lot easier to be lazy in the hometown. So anybody wondering if Nashville is the move, like, you got to be here to make it happen. So
do you ever feel like guilty when you're just like chilling at the house? Do you get that kind of thing? Like, I should
not
be
so much
more.
Anymore, dude. When I first moved here and like I didn't have anything going on really, it was much more that way. But dude, nowadays, bro, I mean, we played over 160 shows last year.
Jeez.
And we had, you know, radio tour on top of that. And so, dude, if I get some time to sit on my ass for a second,
is that including radio tour 160?
I think it was. Yeah, that was. I think we played 150 without, and then it was a little over 150 with radio tour.
That's so crazy.
So.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, I always make this joke, but like, if you told someone I went to work 160 days a year, they'd be like, man, that's awesome. That's great. Good for you, you know? But it's a lot of work, especially when you're doing radio tour. It's like early flights and you're staying up with the PDs and all that. That's a ton, man.
Well, the thing about the music industry, and this is kind of where I've had my mind at recently, is just like, it's such an obscure, like, career where, like, you know, it's essentially, I guess, like owning any business, like you can stay as busy as you want to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I've had to like kind of take time for myself just because, like, if you, you know, say yes to every opportunity and like you, you know, never say no for yourself, then like you'll work every day of the week, every month of the year.
Yeah.
And then like you'll turn around and it's like, what did I do? You know, like, what did I do for myself? So, you know, I've kind of been on that wave recently. It's just like, and it's helped with the music too. Like, if you take time for yourself, and like, I bought a boat this year. Like, I've been doing a lot of fishing this year, and taking time for yourself, like, really so much helps the music.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you gotta be inspired, right? Yeah. And I'm sure there's inspiration that happens while you're on the road, but you have to have time to live your life in other ways that isn't just that, or that's what all your music
for
will be
sure,
about.
Dude. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's an important part. And man, the new EP is awesome.
It's cool.
And I think there's like a lot of diversity in it, but it definitely has like the rock leaning elements, but it feels like maybe even slightly more storyteller than we've seen in some of the other stuff, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of like, you know, that's why I started writing music, was to still tell stories. And like, you know, like the super deep songs like Family Tree and Home Sweet Hell, like, you know, songs like that that like helped me get through something are kind of why I started writing music in the first place. And I feel like I kind of, in a way, got away from that when, you know, I got into the industry, and like you have so many, you know, mouths in your ear telling you what you should do, and this has got to go to radio and this and that. And so this kind of EP, this EP is kind of like, you know, me just doing what sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what I love so much about it.
I love that too. I mean, Family Tree specifically for me, like when I heard it, I'm one of those people that will listen to something over and over and over again. Maybe ADHD, who knows, you know?
Definitely.
But that song caught me, and just the emotion of it.
Yeah.
You know, like every time you listen to it, you can listen to it 100 times, and every time you listen to it, I feel it.
Yeah.
Which I think is super powerful.
Yeah, I love that song.
Me too, man.
It's one of my favorites. And I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, I'm looking forward to writing more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because that's where, like, you know, as far as music goes, that's when I feel something, you know, it's like writing stuff like that. So, and you know, I feel like if I'm writing that stuff and I feel something from it, then like there's got to be somebody else that's going to feel something from it too. So
100%.
I'm a fan. Yeah. I think we're going to do, obviously releasing music next year, but we're getting ready to do like writer's retreats at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I was just telling management the other day, I think I want to do, we usually do a writer's retreat every year where we rent out a Airbnb or whatever in town, and we have writers come over for a weekend and just write for a few days. But I was telling them, I think I'm going to take like, I'm going to do two retreats this year. I'm going to do, you know, a writer's retreat the normal way, and then I'm going to do like my own writer's retreat and like get a cabin somewhere and just go out by myself for a weekend.
Like solo writes.
Yeah. Yeah, and just go sit, like, because I can't remember the last time I've literally been by myself.
Yeah.
You know, because you're always surrounded by people. And dang, like,
so true.
You know, I live with my girlfriend now, so mm-hmm. like, even like when I'm at home, like, I don't really get the chance to write. So I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do like a solo writer's retreat, which I think would be so super cool. Sick.
It's like Walden Pond vibes, but for writing country rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Well, that's how you started too, man. I mean, you were writing by yourself at the beginning.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, there was nobody else writing in the Air Force.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You didn't have any co-writers there.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started. I mean, it's kind of got to be cool to see how far it's come and just how different life is from being in the Air Force to being on the road 160
Even
plus
different
days.
Than the last time we did a podcast.
Oh,
with you,
gosh,
bro.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know what was going on the first time we did a podcast.
It was just starting.
I mean, I think we had just put out Excuse the Mess.
Yeah.
And
we did that acoustic thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah, super cool.
I thought the acoustic thing sounded fucking sick. I need to go back too. And listen to that.
Yeah. I honestly go back and listen to those acoustic songs we did so much. And like whenever we're on a road trip, I'm like, listen to all the cool shit that happened in the extra bedroom of the house that we lived in.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, no, that was super sick. But yeah, I mean, life has just kind of been crazy.
Yeah.
Like I said, we played a bunch of shows last year, and I mean, dude, never in a million years did I think that I'd be on the road with Al Dean last year.
So sick.
Like, dude, that's the craziest thing, like, ever, bro. And, like, feel like people kind of think that I'm just, like, I'm trying to find something to say in the moment, but, like, dude, I literally grew up, and my mom would be vacuuming the house, and she would play CMT Countdown, and we would watch whatever music video, and I remember literally seeing the Johnny Cash video, like, the music video, Jason Aldean. And, like, thinking to myself, that would be sick. And, it, I don't know, last year was just a super eye-opening year of how many things are possible. So,
was it cool getting to meet your heroes? Or
yeah, dude. I mean, he's the most chill guy I think I've ever met. I mean, he's like, I mean, the first show we played our show, then we watched his set, obviously. And then after the show, we all kind of hung out in Aldean's green room. And I got the chance to meet him. I'd never met him before. And we just started talking about land, like buying and selling land for some reason. And I remember like mid-conversation, I was thinking to myself, like, this is literally Al Dean. Like, little me would shit himself in this situation. So, yeah, it's super sick. And like, it's cool to, you know, meet your heroes most of the time. Sometimes it's not, but
that happens from time to time too.
We did, with Luke, we did the Al Dean tour also. And we had a really good time with those guys. And I remember we had this end of tour party, and it's like all the bands, and it was Lauren Lana, Luke, and Al Dean, and they had like a DJ with a karaoke, and so everyone's doing karaoke, and a steel player was doing like that ACD song. It's like about I got big balls or whatever. and Tico got up and did you make it easy, you know, the Karen DeWood Al Dean song. And but he's like Spanish guy, so he's singing in like his Spanish. He's like, "You'll make it so easy," and he's singing. And I just remember like Al Dean like rolling over laughing. It was so funny. We had such a good time out with those guys. Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah,
dude, so crazy.
You guys got some of the best catering out of anybody.
I love our catering. I think it's awesome, and the food is great. But I love like the folks. Like Danny's my spirit animal. Like our catering guy.
Yeah.
Like I'm like looking out in the crowd, and he's got a shirt off, and he's got a blunt, and he's like, "Whoa,
dude!" When we did the whiskey jam thing with you guys, I think it was the year before last, because we were kind of just getting started full band. But we went and did the whiskey jam thing, and like we got invited to come in the arena and like watch the show or whatever. And that was my first time like kind of doing that whole thing. And dude, we got to y'all's catering, and y'all had like chicken with like lobster on top of it, dude. And that was like the first time I'd ever been to like
welcome to
like
the big leagues
artist catering, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this is the goal.
What a treat, because like when you're coming up and you're doing like club shows, even it's like you're eating barbecue every single day, and to have like a salad bar or like at least some variety is like,
oh yeah, dude, we eat McDonald's. Yeah. I mean, dude, Mackers. Three times a weekend between McDonald's and Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your go-to order?
At which one?
McDonald's.
It depends, breakfast or lunch or 2 a.m.
Oh, that's very true. Well. Let's do lunch.
Lunch? Well, they just brought the snack wraps back.
Yeah, big snack wrap guy.
So I've been on that. They're not the same, though.
Yeah.
They don't hit quite like they used to. But I'm just I'll get a quarter pounder, bro. From McDonald's and just
nothing wrong with that.
Delete that some bitch.
Yeah.
And Nick the other day was like, dude, let's go get a Diet Coke from McDonald's. And I was like, I don't want to drink soda. I'm a healthy guy. And I like took one sip and I was like, this is crack. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. The McDonald's sodas.
They put something different in there, dude. I don't know what they're doing.
I know exactly what they're doing because I used to work for a company that worked for them. Instead of like most restaurants have that like little box with a bag, in it.
Yep. Yeah.
They have steel containers full of that stuff.
Really?
So it just keeps longer and keeps better.
Yeah.
And
I worked at Burger King. Regular. Burger King was my first job ever. And yeah, we had the bags.
Yeah.
So
I worked at Wendy's. It's my second job. I was like a busboy before that, but worked at Wendy's and same thing, bags. Yeah, McDonald's just got it on lock, bro. That's why I got that crispiness.
Yeah. My dad worked at McDonald's. I found this out very late in life. He's like, yeah, when I moved to LA, like that was like one of my first jobs.
Crazy.
I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, dude. Burger King was my first job ever. Hmm. And then Zach worked at KFC, I'm pretty sure. And so I was like right down the street, across the street. And, dude, my boss hated me so much, bro. She would send me every day that I went to work. My first day I showed up to work, she was like, yeah, you might want to just start bringing your jacket every day because you're going to be in the freezer organizing boxes. And so she used to put me in the freezer and organize boxes every day, and I would just eat all the cookie dough. And so we would constantly be out of cookies, and they'd be so pissed, bro. They would hate it. Yeah, I didn't last long there.
Yeah. I mean, well, you got a way cooler job now.
Yeah, rock star.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's I mean, bro, even like going to radio and then, you know, like putting out stuff that's even like heavier rock leaning has happened since we've tried it.
Yeah.
And the Aldine tour and then the new project.
Yeah.
Are you trying to, like, I know like you've always kind of done some country and some rock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like early on it was like some stuff was country and some was like rock. I feel like you've really done a good job of blending those two sounds and making it yours now.
Yeah, I would say so. I think it's more dialed in now than it was for sure. But also at the same time, like you only get to live this kind of like, there's a very small percentage of people that get to do this and I'm super blessed to be able to do it. And dude, I just want to put out cool music. Like, I mean, I don't want to like, you know, focus too much of my time into like, oh, I have to do this or I have to sound like this or like I can't put this song out because it's not what I have put out before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, dude, if the song's cool and like I like it and, you know, it somewhat tells a story of like, you know, what I want to talk about, then like what's the harm in doing that, you know? Yeah.
And no one really has it figured out. People act like they do sometimes, but it's like experiment. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what it's all about. But at the same time, it's like, it's cool watching it develop. You know what I mean? Cause
for sure,
you know, from when you were just doing country covers online and rock covers and then now you got your sound figured out and then it's like figuring it out. Now it seems like it's cohesive, but also there's depth to it. You know, there's songs that are like hit heavier and there's songs that are a little bit more emotional.
There's also just a lot more to think about too with like putting out music now, just that I didn't even like consider when I first moved here, is like putting out songs that are going to help a live show.
Yeah.
You know, like having songs in the album that like, you know, are going to translate live better than
tempo.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, like I don't want to play nothing but, you know, piano ballads for an entire set. And so, like songs, like I Mean It, like I Mean It's so fun to play live just cause it's so high tempo. And, like Excuse the Mess is still my favorite song to play live. So you got to have those, and it's just been like a balance of, you know, like you said, just finding the sound, but also just experimenting when possible.
Yeah, I love it. So why don't we talk about the road and the journey of that? So it's like 160 days.
Mm-hmm.
I know you talked about fishing and kind of that, but like, is there anything you do while you're on the road to kind of like keep yourself together or like level set?
I mean, I don't really know. I mean, we travel with a really good group of dudes. So, you know, it's really just like family being out on the road. So, I don't know. Every now and then we'll go stop and get a nice dinner. And I feel like that's probably what kind of helps a little bit to feel normal, you know, because playing so many shows and just eating nothing but fast food the whole time is just like,
crazy.
You start to feel a little bit like a robot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to kind of step back and, you know, do things that are normal. And so we'll go out and eat a nice dinner every now and then when I can afford it.
How's it changed going from like an opening spot to like a headlining your own shows?
Dude, headlining is my favorite time of the year. I mean, this is my third headline tour. And I mean, it's super sick to play the big, you know, Aldine tour and like play for, you know, 10,000 people plus. But to dial it back and play for 700 people that went there to buy your tickets and like see your songs and see you play. Mm-hmm. It's just a different vibe. And so, I mean, I would much rather play for 700 people that are there to see you versus, you know, 10,000 that are still buying beer and eating nachos during mm-hmm. your set, you know? So, mm-hmm. But I mean, we got to play some super cool rooms last year too. And like, we, you know, played some, you know, really cool places. Like we played in Savannah, like the In Market Arena, last year. And that was like a dream of mine. Cause I saw Morgan play there, the year I moved to Nashville. And, yeah, it's just been a dream of mine since I moved here. So we got to do that, but Headline Tour is where it's at, dude. I mean, we're bringing out, like, we're leveling up every year. And, like, last year we brought out our first, like, lighting rig. So we bring out carts and stuff and have, like, a whole light show now. Mm-hmm. And so that's a whole thing. I think we're going to have, there's talks of cryo this year. I don't know if we're doing it or not. But yeah, we're just trying to level it up every year and do something different. And, yeah, it's always fun. So
I love the club tour, man. It's like, I look back on it now, you know, now it's like playing stadiums, but it's like the club tour days are where the core memories are made. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, when you're in high school and you find that band you like, you know, for me, it's like when I got the Ride Lightning album, like that, like fixed part of my brain is always like, that's like my nostalgia thing. Yeah. And then for me, it's like doing the club tours is kind of that way. It's like sort of when I started really touring coming up, and it's like, you're right there on the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your career is really just still kind of just starting. And it's like this beautiful moment where you're both catching each other right at the right time, it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, these club shows, like, I'll get off stage and then go out to the merch table and meet, like, almost everybody that's at the show.
And it's a cheat code, I mean, dude, for making fans.
You can't beat that, dude. Like, especially with, like, these new songs that I'm playing and, like, you know, these deeper, like, emotional songs, like, to go meet the fans and, like, hear their stories about how they fell in love with the song and, like, what it's done for them and, like, I mean, it's just so cool. Like, I mean, that's like, I didn't ever think that I would enjoy playing live shows just because I moved to town to be a writer. Like, I didn't even know if I wanted to do the artist thing. And obviously, Excuse the Mess happened, and, like, we put it out. And I never really, like, saw myself being on a stage and doing that whole thing. But the more I've done it, the more I've fallen in love with it. And, like, that's part of playing the live show and, like, meeting the fans afterwards is, like, where I, like, really fall in love with the whole thing. So,
yeah, I love that. I mean, I remember for years talking to my friends and just talking about, you know, the club show and just getting to have that intimate experience with an artist that is on the come up. You can feel the energy from the artist. You can feel the energy from the crowd. It's there's just nothing to replace it. I mean, the pit at a big show is like as close as you can get at a big show.
Right.
But there's just something about that club show and the come up, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you just feel the energy in the band. You feel the energy in the room. You feel the energy in the crowd.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, one of my favorite things is when you catch it at different levels, like when maybe one song or two song they start singing. Mm-hmm. And then when now the whole set, everybody's singing.
Yeah.
And sometimes it feels like you're at a club show. You're like, well, this is the last time I'll ever pay $20 to see this artist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, absolutely. I better soak it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, dude, it's just so wild, bro. And I love it. I love it. Especially with, like, the music that we play in our set, dude. Like, to have, like, a smaller room and, like, it be so loud and everybody be so close together. It's so sick, bro.
And the beers are cheaper.
Yeah, dude.
I was at a Stephen Wilson Jr. show and he was like $4. I was like, what? I'm like, this is definitely not a Live Nation event.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. No,
and that's where you, as a fan, that's where you fall in love with the artist.
For sure.
You know, you hear the music, you love it, but then you get to see those intimate shows mm-hmm. where you feel like you're a part of it.
Yep.
That's where you fall in love with that artist and their music and, like, absolutely. Become a lifelong fan of them.
Yeah, for sure. I saw Hardy play at Blue Room before I moved to town, and that was like an eye-opening thing for me. He had just put out, this is before he put out the Blurry cover.
Mm-hmm. Public. Oh, I forgot about that. Dude. Yeah.
This was before he put it out, and, like, me and a bunch of friends went to the show, and, like, I knew his music, and I'd heard his album, but I was at the bar getting a drink, and he started playing Blurry, and I turned around, I was like, what the fuck is going on right mm-hmm. now? And that, like, opened my eyes, bro. I was like, this can be done.
I was going
to
ask if that inspired your cover.
A little bit, dude. Yeah. I would say for sure Hardy is an influence. Just because, like, I mean, before that, like, nobody knew that was possible to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody was really doing that. And, yeah, I think he started a wave for sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really, like, leaned into that, and he kind of sprinkled it a little, mm-hmm. and then he just full bore. Sad. And then now it's, I mean, we just got to see him this week. I was up in Pittsburgh and got to see his set and the rock elements in it and then the country elements in it.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of get the best of both worlds, and his band's so freaking
good.
And
the gent element of it.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Yeah. He's sick, man. Yeah.
No,
he's so sick.
And I mean, honestly, the coolest part about Hardy now is from like where he was to where he is now, watching the way he works the crowd now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's always been good at that, but now he's excellent at it.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you can't play that many shows and not, you know, mm-hmm. learn a few things for
Hopefully.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's cool to see that kind of like lane open up too. I would say like rock music has always been adjacent to country, but it seems like it just keeps getting to be a bigger element of it.
More incestuous.
Yep. And I love that. I mean, right now, country is so big that everything's country, you know? Like, everything's kind of country. But for me, is like the same way. It's like a rock fan, country fan. Now those two things are together so often and in such a high-level way that it's just, honestly, for me as a music fan, I'm like, this is what I love. And honestly, festivals like Tailgate and Tall Boys, which we've gotten to see you at, you know, they're not afraid to sprinkle a legitimate rock act in there.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Not even like country rock.
Nickelback.
Just rock.
Heavy-handed Nickelback action.
Dude, I will say, last year we played a show with Nickelback in Birmingham. It was me, Brantley, and then Nickelback in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And, dude, I'd never seen them before. I'd listened to their music my whole life. But they went on stage, and it started downpouring. And we walked out in the crowd and just stood in the rain and watched the Nickelback show. And I've always wanted to see a show in the rain.
Yeah.
And, dude, it was the coolest thing ever.
Was it Orange Beach Amphitheater, or where was it at?
I think so. It was in Birmingham. I don't remember.
Oh, in Birmingham? Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know. Well, did you get to meet Chad?
I did. Yeah. That dude is the definition of a rock star.
Literally. Oh, yeah.
Even just the way he acts. Like, just like.
Because we were talking about meeting your heroes earlier with Aldean, but it's like. Getting to meet Chad Kroeger is fucking cool. I gotta admit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I said a word.
Really?
He was just talking the whole time. Like, I introduced myself, obviously, and then he just started telling me stories about crazy shit.
Same.
And I just listened.
Yeah.
And it's great, though.
Yeah, just like a.
We hung out with him. He came to one of our shows, like in the club tour days when we were playing Vancouver. And then maybe like a year later, I was in catering in Canada, and I'm like eating my rice and beans. As I do, and someone came up behind me and was like, boom. I'm like, I'm gonna spit my fucking beans out. I turn around and it was Chad Kroeger in like a shitty cowboy hat, like the ones that you get for free that would have like Bud Light on the side or whatever. He's like, what up, dude? I'm like, oh, holy shit. It's Chad Kroeger. I told him, I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I downloaded your music on Napster. And he was like, yeah, they send me an award, a plaque, for most pirated song ever. This is how you remind me.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Dude, I showed a guy Nickelback for the first time in an Uber ride two nights ago. It was it was this dude. He was, like, not from America. Like, he was, like, like barely spoke English. And we got in the car, and we just left the bar, and he was playing With Arms Wide Open by Creed. And I was like, dude, this song's sick. He's like, you like Creed? And I was like, yeah, dude, I love Creed. He's like, somebody showed me Creed yesterday. And this is all I've been listening to this whole time. And I was like, dude, I can like show you all kinds of stuff. He's like, please do. And I made him a whole playlist of just
awesome.
Nickelback, Creed, all that stuff, dude.
Welcome to America, baby.
Yeah.
Even though they're Canadian.
Yeah, bro. He loved it, man. He loved it.
Speaking of all that, did you see Butt Rock Night got mentioned in Rolling Stone?
No.
Brian Fraser did there was an article about like the resurgence of that, and it talked about like how it's kind of like resurged in the Nashville scene.
Yeah.
So Brian got interviewed by this girl from Rolling Stone, and he like called me and Matt. He's like, so a girl from Rolling Stone wants to interview me about Butt Rock? And we were like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, let's talk about what you should say on this or not say. But he was like, nah, I got it. And no, they did like an article about the resurgence of Creed and Nickelback and everything.
Yeah.
And he was quoted, and there's even like a video of him and his wife that like that a bit they did about like when we were at a freaking Creed show.
Yeah.
You know? So we're about to I was just talking about Anheuser-Busch, hopefully, and cross your fingers, to get enough money to pay the band so we can do another butt rock night.
Yeah, dude, for sure, bro, for sure.
We want to get the house band back at the high level, you know?
Y'all did it at Barstool last year, right?
Yeah, we did that Nickelback night with Nickelback.
Yep.
I think we're probably going to do it at Live Oak again.
Okay.
But I want Grady and the boys.
For sure.
Like, I want that house band. Yeah. They're so good. Yeah.
That first one that you guys did, dude, the one that I came to.
Absolutely electric.
So crazy, bro.
Yeah. It's just so much fun, man. Like, it's like... It's nostalgia drip, and...
Well, it's also just, like, people playing songs that you didn't know you knew.
Yes.
You know, like, even somebody showing up to that thing, like, that isn't, like, a fan of, like, that
Hinder,
whole thing.
Yeah.
And showing up and, like, hearing this song that you didn't even, like, know that you knew the words to.
Yeah.
Is so sick.
It's just fun and silly. Like, Jordan Rager was like, bro, this is probably the most fun I've had at a show in Nashville.
For sure.
You know? He loves
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah. That's great. But it's just fun and silly, right? And it's like sometimes in Music City, people take themselves too seriously.
I agree.
I get taking yourself seriously. You gotta take yourself seriously to move forward. But every once in a while, you just gotta let the hair down and freaking just have fun and be silly.
Absolutely, you do.
So we're working on that right now. Just getting the next one on the books. It's a lot more work than a regular event we host, and it costs a lot more money to book the band. Yeah. You know?
It's worth it for the butts.
I haven't even been to the new Live Oak, though.
It's down
the same street, right?
Yeah, it's what Doghouse was. Okay. So it's pretty similar setup. They have downstairs and upstairs.
Gotcha.
And then we just moved our Wednesday showcase to Old Dominion's Bar. So I don't know if you've been in there yet. Yeah.
Okay.
So
we were actually there Saturday.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
That was the first time I'd been there. I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah.
I guess it's been there for a while. It's been there for a little bit.
Yeah, a couple months.
Okay.
But sound system's sick.
And they have like a whole outdoor area.
Yeah. Whole Happy Does side too.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're super excited about that just because the quality of the sound there is magical. Mm-hmm. Like it's venue quality sound in a bar, which is sick.
Well, yeah, and everything's moving over there too.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's kind of moving off of that Numbering Street. So,
yeah, it's...
I'm happy about it. It's where everybody hangs out anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Division's great. I mean, honestly, Division's like bumping now with Losers and how big that is. And, I mean, just the Stallworth, you know, and then Old Dominions. And then they didn't even put a third Mexican place over there, Torchy's Tacos, you know?
Is there another taco place over there?
There's Torchy's now as well as...
The taco place across the street from Losers.
And then Chewy's. And then they put
Chewy's.
Oh, there's a fourth. There's a Nacho Daddy, too. Like, you know.
Dude, when we lived over close to that way, we ate at Chewy's probably three times a week.
I love Chewy's.
I used to live in Midtown. Dangerous place. I used to walking distance to Red Door.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
That's like when I was looking at apartments, I was like, I don't want to live in Midtown. I want to be able to walk to all this, you know?
Yeah.
But. Yeah. I want to be able to, in striking distance, you know?
For sure, yeah. We're
get there quick.
Yeah, we're in East now, and we're 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know?
East is the best, man. And we talked about that a little bit before the pod. It's like, it's fun. It's a little bit lower key. It's a different vibe.
Yeah. They got Nicoletto's over there. You been to Nicoletto's?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Great.
That's so good.
That's our new Chewy's. We eat that place like
all the time.
Every night, it seems like.
Yes. I have 30.
How are you eating all this fast food and pasta and like still in shape?
Still skinny.
Dude, I eat like a bird, really. I eat like twice a day.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't ever eat breakfast.
Yeah.
So.
I try to eat breakfast sometimes and my body is just like, stop doing this, dude. You're good.
If I don't eat like super late, like if I eat dinner at like 6:30 and then just don't eat before I go to bed, like I wake up at like 8:30 and I'm like starving.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So I had a surgery last year.
That's what
I had
do,
like
probably.
A I had like a stomach surgery. So like I was getting like bad acid reflux and stuff, and it was really affecting like my singing and stuff like that.
Can't have that.
And turns out I had like a herniated like stomach, like my stomach had herniated into my diaphragm.
Oh man.
Essentially. And had to get that fixed or whatever. And ever since then, like they tied it so when they fixed it, and so I just don't really get hungry. Yeah.
It's crazy.
So I eat twice a day, maybe, if that. I was in a rut yesterday. Didn't eat anything until like 6 o'clock.
I can never do that. Yeah. I would be such a fucking asshole to everybody. Like, there's no way, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed if I don't eat for, I don't know, maybe 12 hours, I do get irritable. You know?
I'm like that with nicotine.
Yeah. What's your nicotine consumption of choice?
I'm on Zins right now. Zins. I've been on it's the best of, honestly, I feel like the options out there.
I agree.
When I was in the Air Force, dude, like the only way we got breaks was if we smoked cigarettes. Mm-hmm. So like we had a smoke pit outside our hangar we worked at. And that was the only way you were ever able to take a break, is like, hey, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. So we would all go out and smoke cigarettes. And that's when I started smoking. And then I couldn't do that all the time. So then I started dipping when I was in the hangar. And so at one point I was smoking cigarettes, I was dipping, and I was vaping.
And you had the patch on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I moved to Nashville and was vaping or whatever. And then I had to pick one, dude. Mm-hmm. I can only afford one habit.
Yeah. I always say, like,
I've got a couple, but yeah.
Yeah. I've never got into tobacco other than cigars. And it's probably for the best, because I'm addictive personality to almost everything I do. Yeah. You know?
I'm saying so,
yeah, I've stayed away. But Matt switched to Zins.
He
uses like Zimos, which is just like another brand of them.
Yeah.
But same thing. I think that's the least problematic in terms of anyone else around you has no idea that you're doing it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's not like it like smells or, you know, causes anybody else any problems.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way to do it.
Yep. I like a big stinky cigar.
Same, bro. But it's like, I won't. Well, like we're at a festival or something, and Matt will want to like light up right in front of people. I'm like, bro, like let's go back here, like 35 feet, and, like smoke a cigar back
Matt
here.
Matt don't care, dude.
Nah, he's from New York. He's used to doing everything.
He's like, hey, I'm smoking over here. Yeah. Yeah,
dude. I'm like, let's go like behind the tent where we're selling merch, and like we'll just smoke back there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, it's been cool to like watch him grow too, man. I mean, like,
oh, he's killing it.
Yeah, he's crushing it.
He's a good boy.
MCing festivals, and I don't even have to go to the festivals anymore, bro. They just send Ike and Matt. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's great. That's even better. Yeah, dude. You know?
Yeah, he's grinding for sure.
Yeah.
Nick's not built for the road life.
No, I mean, I like being on the road, but not that much. Not as much as I used to.
Did you go to QS this year?
No. We went to Matt MC'd at Calfry in Oklahoma, which was sick.
Yeah,
very different scenery.
Yeah, very different. The thing with Key West, man, is like it's just so much money, and I'm like, if I'm gonna spend $5,000 to be somewhere for a week, I don't want to have to do any work while I'm doing it.
Yeah,
you know, like
that. And dude, I can't do it for a week anymore, bro.
No.
I really, really can't. Like, it's tough. I didn't go this year. But dude, the first year it was like, I mean, you literally, like, for people that don't know, Key West is a songwriters festival, and you pretty much, if you were to pick up Midtown on a weekend, and put it in Key West, that's exactly what
Midtown
it is.
On a Monday,
Midtown on a Monday,
and you get all the old heads that used to go out in Midtown too, you know, so you have like four generations of Midtownies dumped in Key West, all in freaking swim trunks and unlimited alcohol.
And
it's like,
and mopeds.
And Jeffrey Steele and
That was the one from my first year in Key West. Was we got there, and Kurt was with me on that one. And we got there, and my phone's like almost dead, and we're, you know, good
hammered.
And drunk.
Yeah, hammered.
And I'm
drunk
by myself somehow. Phone's dead, stumble into the bar, and Jeffrey Steele's just slaying up there. And I can't take a video, and I can't tell any of my friends to come there. And I literally started crying, man. Like, I'm literally, like, crying. I was so happy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just hammered in my absolute element, just listening to one of my favorite songwriters of all time.
What hurts the most?
That's Key West Songwriters Festival, bro.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I could go for 2 or 3 days now. I think
that's absolutely.
It takes 2 or 3 days to get there.
I know. Yeah. Well, now you have shows that pay you money, so you don't have to do as many of the free ones.
I thought we were going to go this year and do a show there.
Yeah.
Was the original plan, but it ended up not working out. But
yeah. They do Mile Zero down there too, which is more like, you know, like Americana and the Texas country and stuff. We should talk them into doing a rock one or something down there. That'd be sick.
Butt rock to Key West.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, Butt Rock Fest.
What an absolutely electric time that would be. Talk about excess. Yeah. But no, like,
Dollaritas everywhere and everything.
Yeah, we'd have to have, like, a pop-up Chili's.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, dude. That would be absolutely electric. But In my head, like, the subgenres of country have grown so much just because the genre's grown so much.
They have.
And now they're all crossing over, you know? It's like, it's, you're having legitimate rock acts on country songs, and you're having legitimate country acts on rock tours. Mm-hmm. And, like, guys like you, I mean, like, Treaty Oak Revival, I would say, is in that vibe. Yep. Definitely, like, Lakeview, too, is, like, selling tickets, you know? And
dude, we saw Treaty Oak at Stagecoach this year.
Yeah.
And, dude, there was no room.
Crazy.
Like, it was insane. I didn't know. I knew they were, like, doing really well. But, dude, I mean, the entire festival left main stage and came and saw them.
It's wild.
Crazy. Crazy.
We were at Tailgate and Tallboys this year, and they weren't the headliner. But they're... The crowd was just screaming every word to every song.
Who was the headliner? Do you remember?
It was Ko.
Ko. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Which is awesome, too. You know what I mean? It was a great combo. But it's like just watching them grow and how fast that's happened, too. Mm. And we actually just got to interview two of the guys from Treaty Oak, which was sick.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's like just watching people live their dreams, man. I mean, everyone. From, from
well,
every
that and like honestly every other genre, too. Like, yeah. Dude,
like Big X.
Dude, a lot of people like complain about it, but I think it's super sick.
Yeah.
I think it's super cool. I think it's a way for people to like bring some creativity to the world, you know? Like country for the longest time was so like cornered into one thing, and now it's not.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the song, you don't have to listen to it.
Yep.
But I mean, dude, I think it's super cool.
I do
too. I think like it's never been cooler to be a country artist than it is now, just because there's no corner that you're in, you know? And radio's playing everything, too, now, you know, which I think is super sick. Because what are they going to do, not play the song that's streaming, you know, 5 million times a week?
Yep.
You know?
They're smarter than that now.
Yep.
And people, like, historically have bitched in country music about this ain't country, and, you know, it's like, we're the highwaymen, they're like these outlaws, you know, it's like outside of the genre. And I was at a Steel Drivers concert, and they were like, I was taking photos, and this lady was like, oh, like, what do you do? And someone's like, oh, he plays for Luke Combs. And she's like, I don't know who that is. And they're like, how do you not know who that is? Like, he's so popular. She's like, well, I quit listening to the radio because they don't play any country on it anymore. And country died, like, when the clock struck 1990. And I was like, so nothing after 1990 was country? And she's like, nope. I'm like, Garth Brooks? She's like, hell no. I was like... Okay. Right. Like, there's always a bigger gatekeeper of the genre.
Yeah.
Just like, and it's just, it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it.
I didn't grow up just listening to country music. You know, as a guy from Western Pennsylvania with brothers that were significantly older than me, I listened to Metallica and I listened to Stevie Nicks and I listened to Madonna. Yeah. And you know what I mean?
Well, like, dude, I talk about this during my set. Like, we do this little thing where I talk about, like, I grew up with an iPod. You know, and like on my iPod, that playlist went from Lil Wayne to, you know, Nirvana to whatever else. And we play like we have like three songs that we cover every night, and it's Chattahoochee, Alan Jackson. We play When I'm Gone, Three Doors Down.
Hell
and then we play Let Me Love You by Mario.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, if you can't play that in a set and like people be mad about, you know, it being country or not, like, who gives a shit, bro?
Yeah.
You know,
it's entertainment, man.
Yeah,
you know,
it's three songs that everybody fucks with.
Yep.
You know,
I love that. And honestly, for me, like, I mean, listen, there's things that if you tell me, okay, in country music, here's the things that I like the most, right? Everybody has that. But a great song is a great song.
Yeah.
Right. We've been listening to that Ella Big X of the Plug song.
Yeah, dude.
And we were hanging out with the guys from Surfside, actually, down in Texas. And we were just talking about, like, Big X on that. We were like, how diabolical is it when he says, I hope you turn your heater on and it blows cold? That's the most PG-13 way to, like, diss someone there is, you know? Like, you're talking crap in the most PG-13 way ever. Yeah. And it's just like, man, it's music's music. And
I agree.
You know, there's been times in my life where I'm like, I don't know about this. But that's just... Yeah. That time and that that specific thing,
right,
you know?
Right.
As we get bigger and bigger as a genre, which is where we're at right now, country music-wise. I say we, like, I'm part of it. I'm not really, but... Yeah. But, like, as country music gets bigger, it's like, of course it's going to spread its wings, you know? Yeah. And then, with ebbs and flows, just like everything, country music will not be the coolest genre of all genres, and then it'll shrink down in the things that are happening in it. The rock artist might be the next thing. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
I think that could be it.
I think social media plays a big role in that too.
100%.
You know, like TikTok being a thing, and like any Joe Schmo can post whatever song that they wrote today.
Yeah.
And it be a mixture of whatever he wants it to be, and it can blow up. You know?
Literally your story.
And whether it's good or bad, like, you know, there's both of those in the world. But like, also, like, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. And that's my whole thing. Like, it baffles me that somebody has something to say about everything.
Yeah.
You know?
They always do, dude. People gotta hate on shit for no reason.
No, that's the world, man. I mean, it sucks that it is, but it is. And everyone, I mean, it's the same thing in sports. Like, everyone thinks they could coach better than the head coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, if you could coach better than the head coach, you'd be the head coach,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's one of those things where, and I find myself, because I mean, again, like I like the music I like and I don't like the music I don't like, or I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I try to step back, you know, as a fan of music, not just country music, step back and say, what are the qualities of this music that is making all these people love it? You know,
right?
And then I try to appreciate those things.
Yep.
You know, what is it? The melody? Is it the lyrics?
Yeah.
Is it the artist and their brand and like, you know, like how well they dialed in exactly who they are that makes people love them?
Yep.
You know, is it the socials? Like, what is it that's making this thing this thing?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten deeper along this journey of, I guess, being in the industry of country music, you know, it's like, you start to see that more. Like, look at Ella. She popped when she cut her bangs. Like, that made her look iconic.
Yeah.
She was always great.
Right.
And then she's kept getting even better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, what's the thing that makes you you, and how can you show that to everyone?
Yeah. Well, it's like when Morgan, you know, got his mullet.
Yeah.
You know, and cut his sleeves off on a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, that's when he took off.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's like Luke wearing the same stage outfit all the time,
right?
And then everybody in the crowd starting to wear it too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's the thing that makes you you, that makes you stand out? I mean, Jordan Davis with the beard, you know. It's like everything has its thing, and then it's how do you take that, because that means the eyes are on it, and then how do you make it make everything behind it so worthwhile that they keep paying attention?
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
So
yep. Stress myself out about it all every day, dude.
Hey, man, that's how it works, though. You know, and then it's developing, because like if you stay exactly the same forever, it's not going to work either.
People get bored.
Yeah. Well, I know you got a lot more dates. I saw on your tour that you're going up to Jurgles. That's my like hometown venue, baby.
Yeah, dude.
So heading up to Jurgles. I saw you were in Philly too.
Yep.
Bunch more.
We're doing them all, dude.
Are you other than the headlining tour? Are you out with anyone recent or like coming up? Or is it just the headlining gig?
We don't have anything yet, no. Cool. I think we're probably going to do another tour. I think we're going to add some dates at some point next year.
Cool.
For the headline tour.
Yeah.
And then find another opener slot to get onto and then do the same thing over again.
That's sick, man.
So, yeah. Headline tour is going to be sick, though. We're super excited for it.
I mean, we got to make it out to one.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Who do you have opening?
We got Fox and Veed.
The boys.
Damn.
They were out with us last year.
That's a show.
Dude, they're insane, bro. And they're just such a great group of dudes, too. Like, there's something about, like, you can tell when somebody comes in, and, like, you can tell they're just all boys that, like, just make music together, and that's what they are. But they're going to be out with us, and then we're bringing Brandon Wisham out.
Love so Brandon,
both
too.
Of those have already been out with us before.
Yeah.
And Brandon killed it with us the first time, so.
That's great.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I mean, I love both sides of that, and Brandon's kind of like that country thing, and Fox and Beat are definitely that rock thing.
Yep.
I've gotten to hear a lot of Fox and Veed stuff just over the years, and we were their first like Nash play. And then
have they been on the pod yet?
I don't think so.
No, no. We should do
get
that.
Those boys on.
Yeah,
there,
we fucked up.
Yeah, that's dumb. Yeah, I think they've been on Sam's pod on the Rowdy Alt Pod.
Okay. Yeah.
But dude, we love those boys, and just same thing, kind of like listening their sound develop has been super cool.
Yeah.
And then Landon, like when we met Landon, he was like a baby. And now he's a freaking rock star.
For sure.
You know, it's like, it's so cool to like watch him come in from like basically being a kid mm-hmm. to like now being like a full-fledged rock star, maybe the biggest personality of the band.
For sure.
You know?
Yep.
So we love those boys. And,
yeah, they're dope, man.
One of the things that I always like love, they rock a lot of Rage Rowdy gear, but on one of their shirts that looks like an old 90s rock band shirt,
mm-hmm.
two of them have Rage Rowdy hats on in the picture for the shirt. And I'm like, I could wear Rage Rowdy merch without wearing Rage Rowdy merch. Yeah, dude. You know?
Subtle marketing, bro.
Yeah, it's like meta, you know?
Yeah.
But Inception. It's cool. And dude, that's what it's about. It's about like, you know, the people that put you on, mm-hmm. now you get to put other people on.
For sure.
You know? Yeah. And that's like the whole freaking ecosystem of the thing. You're like, that's you saying, hey, these people are people that I fuck with.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know? Dude, we jam both of those all the time in the van. Mm-hmm. This year I just wanted to bring out people that I was fans of, you know. Yeah. When we first brought them out, it was like, you know, they're doing numbers and they can help sell tickets, but dude, this year we just kind of said, this person's sick, they're gonna play a sick ass show, let's bring them out. Brandon's one of the craziest singers in Nashville, I think.
I agree.
And so yeah,
I love it, man.
Yeah, dude,
well, congrats, bro.
Thanks, man.
Crack ups and everything on the new release, on the headlining tour, all the cool shit. Well deserved, bro. You're a mega talent, dude.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thanks for stopping in and
thanks for having me. Thanks for the Surfside, dude.
Of course.
The black cherry lemonade vodka.
I mean, they're good. I'm going to have to
drink more.
Yeah, we'll have more today, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, man, thanks for, like Kurt said, thanks for being here and taking the time to come hang with the boys, man. Really, we appreciate you. And
next record, stop by also.
Yes. For sure. Yeah. We got to get you back way sooner than we were the last time.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
I'm here. Just let me know.
Absolutely, man. Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon. We'll see you in the front row. Thanks, bro.
At an Austin Snell show.